You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Remember John Beck, quarterback here in 2010, 2011. Started a couple of games in that 2011 season. It didn't go well, if you recall. He had those 10 sacks taken in Toronto against Buffalo in a 23-0 shutout. He had a game in which he threw 14 checkdowns to Roy Helu. Roy Helu still holds the single-game franchise record for most receptions in a game with 14 on that particular day. But since leaving D.C., John has really had a very interesting life, gotten multiple graduate degrees, and he's been a part of 3D QB, one of those quarterback academies or quarterback training spots, and they have trained many NFL quarterbacks, and they have had here recently Jaden Daniels among several, not to mention they've also had several players, three quarterbacks that were taken in the first round. They trained J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Jaden Daniels. I called him last week. He was on my podcast, and I'm going to play a chunk of this for you because I wanted to hear what he said about working with Jaden Daniels and how he projects Daniels to be at the next level. So he just started off talking about his experience with Jaden Daniels.
When you talk about Jaden's story, it's really who he's become over the last 18 to 24 months. He leveled up in so many areas of his game, and it was very cool to be a part of that process, to watch how much time, effort, and energy he put into that. He recognized, here's where I'm at, here's currently my strengths, this is where I want to end up, this is what I want to become, and so what is it going to take to get there? And then he literally just grinded for 2 years in all of those areas. So it's really cool to see where he's at. I believe this last year really showed that work that he put in. I felt like he was exceptional in areas of the dropback game that were areas that he specifically said, I need to improve on this. Going through his progressions and delivering accurate footballs on the second and third receiver in the progression was something I felt like he really worked on, and it showed up in games. It's easy to see that when he steps on the football field, a lot of the times he's the best athlete on the field. He can outrun everybody on defense at times when needed. He creates plays. He's very accurate with the downfield throws that he's dropping into the bucket on guys. You saw that a number of times running the slot fades. But the thing that I felt like really impressing was watching Jaden Daniels play in the dropback passing game as efficiently as he did this year. And it came down to decision-making also. It's not just about the ability to make the throw, but making the right decisions. You saw that in his touchdown to interception ratio. You saw the times when he would pull the ball down, not force a throw, and take off and run. It's that decision-making process that has to go hand in hand with the throwing efficiency, because you can be a great thrower and you can improve on your accuracy through progressions, but if you're not making good decisions with that, it can hurt you at times. And I felt like he was tremendous at that this year.
When you said he decided to you know, essentially improve over a grinding 2 years, specifically, what did he go into that process thinking that he needed to improve, or what did you guys share with him needed to be improved?
Being a consistent thrower. Like, there were times where in his early years at Arizona State, the potential was there, but not always the consistency and repeatability. And that's, you know, fairly common, especially of the guys that come out of high school that are exceptional athletes, meaning they at any time could pull the ball down, take off and run and create plays at the high school level. It didn't always require them to be the most repeatable or efficient of a thrower. But I think as he entered the collegiate game, you know, especially in a situation where his team, you know, was not essentially, oh, I walked into this great situation. I have this great supporting cast where everybody's just making tons of plays around me. They played him as a young player on a young Arizona State football team. And so a lot was required of him. And when he made mistakes, it showed. And so for him, it was, how can I be repeatable in the pass game? Meaning, can I drop back? And if I'm given a certain look, can I consistently throw that ball 10 out of 10 times? Efficient spiral, good location, accurate timing, all of that stuff. That was, I would say, the number one area. When I have somebody open, and it, maybe that window's a little bit of a smaller window, am I accurate enough, efficient enough to be able to drive that ball in that spot and not just do it here and there, but to do it consistently every time it shows up? And so that was the main area. If a team's going to give me a throw, I want to be able to consistently hit that throw.
You know, I think one of the things you're really emphasizing here, and I think it's important for everybody listening who are fans of this team, he's not a runner first. I mean, the running yardage, the scrambling yardage, some of the design stuff, some of the option stuff, he was lethal at doing. But one of the things that I've loved about him and watching him over the last year is I really felt like, no, this guy can throw from the pocket. And I think that's what you're saying, right? This isn't Lamar Jackson coming out from Louisville, you know, in 2018.
Oh, you're 100% correct. It, like, to put it in a nutshell, that's what he wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to be. That's not what I want to be. I want to be able to play in the drop back passing game at an NFL level. That's what I want to do. You know, I'm really blessed to be a part of 3DQB, to be one of the owners in it. We have a lot of great NFL players, college players, but I think it kind of creates this cool situation for these college players, because many times when they come to the field, the NFL guys are just finishing up their workouts. And so there was a number of times last year that the NFL guys, you know, the Jalen Hurts, the Dak Prescott's, the Jared Goff's, like, these guys are out there with their teammates finishing up their workouts, and then boom, Jaden walks out on the field with his LSU receivers. And so it's a really cool thing that as a college player, you get to see, what does NFL efficiency look like? And these are guys that are, you know, Pro Bowl caliber players in the NFL. A couple of those guys have nearly won the MVP. So, man, to be able to see that and then to step on the field and say, okay, what is it going to take for me to get there? That's what Jaden did. He said, I want to be a passer. I want to be able to go out there and deliver the football around the field, spread the ball accurately on time, be efficient. That's what I want to be. And then when I need to take off, I want to take off. And that kind of reminds me of a story back when I was a young player in the NFL. In college, Steve Young talked to me about, you know, how he learned how when to use his legs. And this is one of the best, you know, running quarterbacks in NFL history. And he was not a runner first, but he recognized, let me hold on to my athleticism as the last option. Let me use it only when it's needed. I'm going to go through my progressions. I'm going to work efficiently as a quarterback through my dropback game, decision-making. And then when I need to use it, that's when I'm going to use it. And so I'm sure there's going to be some design runs here or there, just because that's the day and age that we live in. And they're going to utilize that, but he's going to be a dropback passer first. And then when he's got to take off and create some plays, he's got all the athleticism in the world to do it.
Really interesting what you described, that environment. Do you remember any specific pro quarterbacks that were influential for him, that developed a relationship with him?
Jaden's a little bit of a guy where to come off, he'll be a little bit like quiet and reserved. He's not going to go up. Some of the college players, they can't wait for their opportunity to go, you know, hey, introduce himself to the NFL guy or, you know, rub shoulders with him. Jaden was like, I'm going to watch. I'm going to observe. A lot of the guys took an opportunity to talk to Jaden because he'd been around so much. You know, this is a kid that we, you know, started working with a handful of years ago. And so they've seen him around the field a lot. They've seen his progression. I think for me, I don't know if he even had somebody that he's like, this is what I'm going to pattern myself after. I think he kind of reminds me a lot of Dak Prescott in this way. They look at the guys that are succeeding in the NFL of more like, I'm going to be there with them, competing with them pretty soon. So I'm going to take what I can, and then I'm going to step into that arena and show them who I am, doing it my way, you know, the unique way to me. And I think there's a strength in that. Like, there is value in recognizing what some other players are great at and learning from them and saying, how can I advance my game in that way? But there's also a strength to stepping in and say, I'm me. This is the way I play the game. I'm not trying to play the game exactly like those other guys. I recognize how they're succeeding, and I want to succeed in the same way, but I'm also going to do it with my flavor, with the way that I play the game and my uniqueness. And I really love that about Jaden because, you know, he's a guy with so many talent and abilities. You don't want to tone one of those down anywhere just to fit something. And I think when I think about what they're probably going to do in Washington, you know, Cliff has had some really unique positions as a coach and the type of players he's had, you know, and I think he's going to be able to use all those experiences and say, how can I take all of those experiences and how can I get this quarterback to be the absolute best he can be using all of his weapons? I don't want to put any of those weapons on the shelf. I want to use all of them.
You know, the first part of your answer there, I heard what you were saying because I've watched him in a lot of interviews. I went back and watched a lot of the LSU post-game game ball speeches. He is definitely an introvert, right?
Well, it's funny because that's how he comes off in the beginning. And then he's actually a very, like, loves to joke around, loves to have fun. Like, he'll chat it up. I mean, so it's funny, like, the first, like, in the beginning, you'll assume that that's what he is. But once he feels comfortable with you, I don't know if you want to call it, you pass the test or whatever.
Right.
He opens up, and he's actually he's always laughing. He's always joking around. Like, the guys that he did all of the training with, there was a group of six guys that were all training together, three other quarterbacks that are in this year's draft. I don't know if they would say he's an introvert. They would probably say, yeah, he's, like, a little bit quiet. You would first assume that, but man, he's also going to be an energetic guy. He's going to, you know, laugh and joke and play around as well. So, you know, I think it's just a comfort thing once he gets comfortable with you.
Who were the other three after Penix and McCarthy with him?
Sam Hartman, Notre Dame, Keaton Slovis, BYU, and Talia Tagovailoa, Maryland.
Yeah, so you had Leah as well. Interesting. We're talking to John Beck. When did you know, watching him, whether it was training him or watching him in a game, when did you know that he had a chance to be legitimately like a top two pick in the NFL draft?
I will share a story of my partner at work. So Taylor Kelly, one of our coaches, he has worked a lot with Jaden over the last couple of years. Spent a lot of time with him in Baton Rouge. And Taylor, last summer, we were finishing up our day, and Jaden and the LSU wide receivers were the last group on the field. So we've already had a handful of NFL guys bringing their receivers. Jaden and his guys finish it. And we sat down and just said, man, how good did Jaden look today? You know, if you don't know who's a pro and who's a college guy, you know, who just of today would you say maybe had the top workout, maybe looked really, really good? And Taylor goes, guys, I'm telling you, I really believe Jaden's going to win the Heisman this year. And I mean, look, we kind of like scoff, like, oh my gosh, Taylor, come on, bro. Like, that's a pretty bold statement, dude, to make, you know, in July. He's like, no, I'm telling you. And this is, you know, Taylor also worked really close with CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, their last couple years in college as well. So another Heisman Trophy winner. I think CJ might have finished runner up once or twice. And he's just like, look, I'm telling you guys, like, I've been with Jaden for a while watching this. I'm telling you, with how he's playing, with the guys that he has around him, if they can play well defensively and all these different things, he's like, I'm telling you, I'm not going to be surprised one bit if he's not standing up there with the Heisman Trophy and if he's not a top three or four pick. So he called it. He saw it. And maybe he's a guy, you know, that can be on the show one of these days, that he'd be a great person to talk to about the same things with Jaden. Just like, you could see, man, this guy really does have the potential. If things line up, this is going to be a really special year. And when the stars kind of align and you have the talent, the ability, the work ethic, you know, there's some really cool stories about the work that he was putting in through VR, going through all of the different fronts that teams were giving him, the early mornings that he was putting in, being the first guy showing up at the place, putting in the preparation for game day. You know, all of those things, they all pay off, and then boom, the stars align. That usually equates to a very high draft pick. And, you know, last night, that's what happened.
All right, so we've talked about and we've gushed about, because I'm right there with you. I've loved watching him for the last year and a half, about all that he does well. What are the things that you think should be concerning, or things that just need to be worked on at the next level?
Well, first off, any quarterback success depends highly on the environment that he's in, the situation that he's in. You know, quarterbacking is so unique. I'll share a phrase that Drew Brees used to always say. There is no position in sports where the team depends so much on them as the quarterback, but there's also no position that depends so much on his teammates as the quarterback. And so, you know, if a quarterback wants to succeed, it really truly is about the people around him, the environment, the situation, offense, defense, I mean, everything. You know, all aspects of the game, the quarterback, it impacts him and how, you know, his performance unfolds. I've seen quarterbacks in games, you watch the tape and you're like, I mean, this guy's playing a pretty good game. He's in a tough situation there. And yeah, every quarterback is going to have a few plays here or there that they would like to have back. That's everybody. But you're looking at it like, I mean, for the situation the guy's in, he played a pretty dang good game. And their team loses by 10 points. And in other situations, you see a guy that, like, they're able to overcome some of his mistakes because of the situation that the team's in, or they don't require as much from him. Hey, be smart, make good decisions, don't have to force any ball downfield. We're going to be really good in the screen game, utilize your outlets. We're going to be really good on running the ball on first and second down, or we're even going to set up some third downs where we can run the ball for a first down. In those situations, now it's not so much on the quarterback. So for me, you know, look, there's always going to be things that Jaden's going to work to improve on, right? And he's going to want to continue on that trajectory of improving as an elite passer, especially as he gets in the NFL. We always talk about college accuracy, NFL accuracy. That also comes down to decision-making. Balls that you might pass up in college, you're giving a guy a chance in the NFL. Those areas he's going to continue to improve on. But to me, so much of it is going to be about the Commanders. It's going to be about the environment that that coaching staff creates for Jaden's success. It's going to be about the teammates around him, about how well good of a teammate he is for them to help lift them up and help them improve his game, and vice versa, the way that they can help alleviate him, especially if he has to be out on the field early. How can they help him so that he can be successful? I truly believe that so much of a quarterback's success in the NFL, especially when they're a young quarterback, depends so much on the circumstance and the environment that they land in.
So what does your gut tell you about the environment he's going into?
I love Adam Peters. I think that was such a great hire. I've known Adam for a lot of years through the 49ers. I think Dan Quinn, I've had the opportunity to be around Dan a lot. Our group worked with Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons when they had their run there. They went to the Super Bowl. I've spent the last 7 years, I think it is, with Dak Prescott. And so I've been in that Cowboys building a lot. I know just how much they all loved DQ there, the influence he had in that building, how much his players loved playing for him. And then Cliff Kingsbury, he's a guy that I've gotten to know this last year, but I've followed him from afar, from his college days, the quarterbacks that he had, his time in Arizona. He's actually a guy that I've always admired, and getting a chance to meet him in person was great. And the conversations that we've had about quarterback development, I think he is just such a good dude for that job. So I'm pumped. That trio right there of, you know, GM, head coach, quarterback coach, man, those are three guys that I absolutely believe in, you know. And look, it's tough, though. You can have great people, and they're doing their very best to try to make it work, but sometimes there are circumstantial, situational things that at times can be out of people's hands. So that's where you just put your best foot forward. You do everything possibly that you possibly can to help a young quarterback, and then you got to let the chips fall where they may. Everybody in that building is going to be trying to do everything the right way. I believe a lot of NFL teams are doing that, but it's a tough game. It's a tough business. There's a defense that's being paid hundreds of millions of dollars to stop you. And that's why the game is so great. That's why the position is so challenging. But I like the chances. I think that Jaden's done so many good things. And I think it's a situation that obviously they're picking where they're at, the organization's where they're at, because they do have to continue to grow and improve, and they want to get back to the playoffs. You know, and despite, you know, hey, my situation didn't work out the way that I would have liked it to be there. But, you know, I've always continued to, like, hope for good things for the organization because of the people. And especially when there's people that I know there that are working hard to do their best. And so I'm absolutely pulling for the Commanders to see not only Jaden, but the other people that I know in the building have success.
That was John Beck. It was really interesting because we ended up talking further about his time here. It was not a good time for him professionally, the 2 years here in Washington. It was a big takeaway from my conversation with him. But he has done a hell of a lot with his life since retiring from football. And big fan, obviously, of Jaden Daniels. Some good insight there from a guy who's been part of a group that's been training Jaden for a few years. All right, when we come back, Adam Schefter actually revealed something on draft night that you may or may not have heard. He did it again yesterday on the Pat McAfee show. You'll hear what it is. It had to do with Washington's pick at number two. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So years down the road, when we look back at the 2024 draft, hopefully look back on it as a foundational draft. Certainly hope that we look back on it and say they got the quarterback right. But there will be a lot of reminiscing about the months leading up to the draft and who liked, you know, which quarterback and what the team thought. And there wasn't a lot discussed by the team at all. As many of us have told you guys, there was less coming out of the organization and has been less coming out of the organization than ever before. And there was a lot of guessing. I mean, even some of the big-time, some of the big-time NFL reporters were in the dark to a certain degree. Now, I think that from the beginning when Adam Schefter, specifically Adam Schefter, probably the most plugged-in NFL reporter, he was going awfully hard. Denton, he really was. Even though he would kind of, you know, give you the, you know, the caveat of, I haven't heard it directly from the team. This isn't something I'm reporting. But there were multiple times where he said, I think Jaden Daniels to Washington makes sense. It's what I have been hearing from people around the league. I believe the draft starts at number three with Drake May. You know, even when he was on that podcast, I'm forgetting the name of the podcast now. Do you remember the name of it where he talked about getting the jersey?
Was that the local podcast?
Yeah.
Trap or Dive.
Trap or Dive. I wanted to be able to credit them properly. When he was on that Trap or Dive podcast and he, you know, claims he was joking, which, you know, that's fine. He was, but he's Adam Schefter, and when, you know, you take a clip or you just read it in print that he said, you know, it's safe to go get your Jaden Daniels jerseys, you know, nobody knew unless you actually listened to it that it was in context part of a joke. But anyway, I digress. He went, you know, with this all along. Now, I think, you know, just so that we get this down today, this is Schefter talking about, you know, who Washington really had honed in on at number two. Now, listening to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and everybody since the Thursday night first round, they had Jaden Daniels as their number one for a while. But Schefter claims that if it hadn't been Daniels, it wouldn't have been Drake May. Here's what he told Pat McAfee.
You know what's funny about the Jim Harbaugh stuff? Like last week in Detroit, I'm watching ESPN and they got these odds shifting on whether the Chargers will draft J.J. McCarthy. Like, where is this coming from? Now, the interesting part about
that was on your network, Schefter. Yeah. That was on your network. That would be you.
Well, it was coming from. Odds going, no, the odds were going way up on it all of a sudden. For some reason, by the way, we were talking about, you had me on from Ann Arbor two Fridays ago, and the odds on Drake May gone up. And the truth is the Commanders, the two quarterbacks they had in consideration at two were Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. So Drake May wasn't going to. Oh. He just wasn't going to. He's going to go three to New England. But back to Harbaugh a second.
So there you go. I mean, Schefter had actually mentioned this when Washington was on the clock on Thursday night as part of ESPN's coverage. But he has been adamant here for the last few days that Washington wasn't considering Drake May, that it was Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy that were in consideration for them at number two. So just for, you know, if you believe Schefter, and I do on this, I absolutely do, this is one of those conversations that, you know, will change as we get further away from it. And people will say, remember how close it was between, you know, Drake May and... No, it wasn't close between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I don't even know that it was close between J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels. But J.J. McCarthy was the only other quarterback that was considered. By the way, speaking of Drake May, who went number three overall to New England... there was a lot of reporting on what was actually offered to New England for the number three spot. So the Giants reportedly offered, I had it here a second ago, the Giants offered number six overall and their 2025 first round pick to move up three spots. New England said no. The Vikings offered number 11 and number 23, their first-round picks, along with a 2025 first-rounder in exchange for the third pick and then two mid-round selections for New England. But none of those proposals, according to Mike Rice, who covers, he's the John Keim equivalent for ESPN, according to his reporting, none of those proposals met the criteria that the Patriots wanted to move off of number three. Now, what is not specifically said in this report is whether or not the Giants, you know, what quarterback specifically the Giants and Vikings were moving up to take. I am assuming it's Drake May. In fact, I'm pretty sure with the Giants, it was Drake May. I'm not 100% sure it was Drake May with the Vikings. I think the Vikings really did have a super high grade on J.J. McCarthy, which obviously they did not have to trade up to number three to get. They were able to trade up one spot from 11 to 10, and they were able to keep their 23 and eventually trade again up to 17, but they took McCarthy at 10 overall. And maybe the biggest surprise of the quarterback, you know, first round record-setting night on Thursday night, six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. That's never happened before. The six taken in the first 27 picks in 1983 was the most, but the other night shattered that by about 15 spots. But the shocker, of course, was Michael Penix Jr. going number eight to the Falcons. Without a doubt, one of the things that made draft night on Thursday night just a wild night. By the way, the ratings for the first round of the draft, 12 million people watched. Very interestingly, and I think I saw this data early this morning, and I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, the night two and day three of the draft, the ratings were down from previous years. And on some level, that makes sense. I mean, you had so much drama on night one with six quarterbacks going on night one, and people were so into night one, maybe at, you know, after all those quarterbacks were gone and there wasn't an obvious big name necessarily at the top of the board on night two, there were people that were less interested. But the selection of Penix Jr. is still getting a lot of talk. What is now clear is that Arthur Blank was on board before this actually happened. Remember on draft night, there's that, the, you know, the video from the war room of Terry Fontenot, the GM, talking to Arthur Blank, and people said he's trying to explain what they just did to the owner. No, they had that planned out. And apparently what essentially happened was they met with Michael Penix Jr. after his pro day and fell in love with him. And one of the guys that fell in love with him was their assistant GM, Kyle Smith, who was obviously here. And from that moment on, they sent, you know, a flotilla of Falcons executives out to Seattle for a private workout. Fontenot, the GM, Raheem Morris attended that as well. And they just fell in love with Michael Penix Jr. And I think the real issue here, and it's going to be a learning, the people that talk about this being the right thing to do and it was genius, they're insane. This makes no sense whatsoever. And it makes no sense whatsoever because if they had found out earlier how much they loved Michael Penix, they could have saved $100 million and spent it on a supporting cast for Michael Penix Jr. They had the eighth pick in the first round. If they had fallen in love with him months earlier, no one was going to pick him before eight. They would have never signed Cousins. And what's been revealed through this process is that teams, of course, are scouting players. And you have all of your scouts out there, the area scouts, etc. And you're creating a board, you know, during the season and right when the season ends. But the top level people in an organization do free agency first and then the draft. And so when you get Fontenot and you get the new head coach, who wasn't the head coach during the course of the season, he became the head coach in January, Raheem Morris, and you get all of these people along with Kyle Smith really now engaged in looking at all the work that the scouts have done, it happens basically after free agency because free agency comes first. In the future, I mean, the learning experience, it has to be a big takeaway. There's no way that this makes sense. I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense to draft a quarterback when you have a quarterback, especially a 36-year-old quarterback. But that quarterback wasn't there in March, early March. That quarterback came there to sign a four-year, $180 million contract with $100 million guaranteed. If the quarterback had already been there for a while, that's one thing. But you've got to figure it out because it's not the right way to handle it. If you've got a need for a quarterback, you have to have a real good feel for whether or not there's a quarterback in the draft that you're going to have a chance to pick. Because if you knew that, as the Atlanta Falcons in February or early March before free agency started, you would have taken all of that money and you would have spent it elsewhere and you would have picked Michael Penix Jr. and said, let's go. Because as of now, Cousins, if you say he starts 2 years, because that's essentially when the guaranteed money runs out, Michael Penix Jr. is a 26 going on 27-year-old with already two of his 5 years, if you pick up the fifth-year option, and you probably would, already, you know, gone. Strange turn of events on draft night, and one of the true stunners in recent draft history, and one that I think totally deserves criticism. I'm not into trying to say that having more than one quarterback isn't important, and having an opportunity to draft a quarterback in the first round for a quarterback that's getting older doesn't make sense. I think it does. I think the Jordan Love thing did make sense. You know, I think years ago when the Packers took Aaron Rodgers, it did make sense, I'm sure. You know, Andrew Brandt's told us that story many times in the past. But those two quarterbacks were taken at 26 and 24, respectively, in the draft. And the quarterbacks that were aging a bit were already there and had been there for a while and didn't just come there with a new $180 million four-year deal. That's stupidity when it comes to roster management and cap management. Other than that, you know, the drama of the first night, and I'm going through some of this because we didn't spend a lot of time yesterday on the show talking about the rest of the draft, but there were a couple of picks that I thought were really interesting. I think the Eagles have done a really good job, at least on paper, in this offseason. I think Ricky Pearsall getting selected by the 49ers at 31. Now, he was a receiver Denton and I talked about all season long during the college football season. We both liked him a lot. He was not mocked on many first-round boards, but he ended up going first-round, and that means probably Deebo Samuel and or Brandon Ayuk or Brandon Ayuk may be available. I think that the Bears getting Caleb Williams and then getting Rome Odunze, who I actually like as much as any of the receivers in the draft, you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a better roster for the number one overall quarterback in a draft going into. The Bears roster with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and the rookie Rome Odunze, with Cole Kmet at tight end, with recently signed DeAndre Swift in the backfield. Oh, by the way, still with, you know, Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. A defense that, you know, is on the come for sure with Sweat, you know, and his big deal. You've got a new OC in Shane Waldron. This is a team, Chicago, if Caleb Williams is the right guy, you're going to know it pretty quickly because they're giving him and have for him, and by the way, a pretty solid offensive line as well with guys like Darnell Wright and Tevin Jenkins, et cetera. I can't remember in recent memory a quarterback going into a better situation as the number one overall quarterback in a first round. Can you, Denton?
No, not off the top of my. I mean, you might have to go like way, way back, but I can't.
I mean, what was Cincinnati's situation for Burrow?
They were drafting him 100%. They had already decided they were moving.
No. Andy Dalton. What was the overall team situation?
What do you mean?
What was the supporting cast like?
Oh, it was Tyler Boyd. That's it.
That was it, right?
Yeah, and then they drafted Jamar Chase after A.J. Green had gone off to Arizona by that point.
Right. Trevor Lawrence went into Jacksonville in 2021. If my memory serves me correctly, they were pretty good on defense the year before. They weren't, but they were 2-14. Remember, they got that pick, and then they improved significantly, along with Detroit, I think, who had the first. Was it Detroit? Or maybe that's the next year. It's really hard to find a situation where a quarterback is going into as healthy a situation as the number one overall as Caleb Williams is going to in Chicago. You know, Bo Nix is going to be interesting to see if that works with Sean Payton. One of my favorite players in the draft period, Brock Bowers to the Raiders. It's a tight end. Some people thought he might drop even further, but the Raiders didn't get their quarterback. You know, the Rams, it was discussed, did accept a lot of conversation about moving out of 19. There's also been a few reports that Sean McVay had fallen in love with Michael Penix Jr. as well. and that the Rams were thinking about drafting Penix Jr. at 19 had he gotten to that point. Minnesota, McCarthy, you know, you think about the quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, great supporting cast, great fit, right? Jaden Daniels into an organization people believe around the league with Cliff Kingsbury, and that's a good situation. Michael Penix Jr., he gets to sit. I don't know if he was the one that needed to sit. And then J.J. McCarthy getting connected with Kevin O'Connell. The, you know, another Shanahan-style offense. And then Bo Nix with Sean Payton. Like, the six quarterbacks taken all went to into situations, with the exception of Penix Jr., but then again, for him, he got picked eighth overall. Pretty decent situations overall. And then Xavier Worthy to Kansas City, by the way, at 28, with Buffalo trading with Kansas City to give them the fastest receiver in the draft, was certainly interesting as well. All right, got a couple of things we'll finish up on when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Nats complete a four-game sweep of the Marlins yesterday with a 7-2 victory. Four in a row for them. They're now back at 500, sitting at 14-14. They're in Texas tonight to take on the Rangers. First pitch at 8. You can hear it on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. In the NBA, Celtics take a 3-1 lead over Miami with a 102-88 win. However, they lose Kristaps Porzingis during the game. He leaves with a calf injury that the team fears is related to his Achilles. OKC sweeps New Orleans 97-89. Jamal Murray's late-game heroics lift Denver over Los Angeles 108-106. And the NFL, Chiefs announced yesterday they're signing Travis Kelce to a two-year, $34.25 million extension, making him the highest-paid tight end in football. And those Atlanta Falcons that Kevin was just talking about exercised a fifth-year option for Kyle Pitts. And that's what's trending.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Catching up on some correspondence with a lot of you since Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. First of all, from Ben. Ben wrote to me and said, Kevin, I will refrain from explaining every play call at the Penn State game. This was My one just question more than anything else about J.J. McCarthy is they played a game at Penn State, biggest game of the year, in early November, and he didn't throw a pass in a one-score game in the second half. Despite having many third downs to do so, they chose to punt instead. But he reminded me that Jim Harbaugh was not in Happy Valley for that game. Yes, sir. Ben, you are correct. He was suspended on the flight to the game, and Sharon Moore was the head coach. Remember, that was where Sharon Moore, after the game, was super emotional. So there was that. this from Denny. They got your boy. You better be right. No excuses. Are you going to apply to be an NFL scout now that they agreed with you? Shut up. From Dan. Dan writes, so what are you saying about LeBron James? This is not draft related. I do agree with you. He looks like a much larger and stronger man than he's ever appeared to be. Again, I don't think it's suspicion from my standpoint. We've been talking about this for a while. LeBron has certainly the means to make sure that every single thing he puts into his body and every single training technique is the cutting edge of cutting edge. So I'm blown away at how great he is at 39 years old. Last night, this particular series, I thought LeBron James was as good as he's ever been. And look, the numbers bear it out from a shooting standpoint. He has never been a better three-point shooter. Now, that's more skill than size, strength, etc. I get it. But, yeah, I'm not questioning it. Lavero did with me recently, but I'm not suggesting that at all. But it is obvious that LeBron appears to be a bigger and stronger man. If you watch that game last night, they couldn't stop him physically from getting to the rim. I thought he settled for too many threes down the stretch because they could not stop him from getting to the rim. Great basketball game last night. Great series. For a five-game series, that was as good as it gets. Just unfortunate that Anthony Davis got, a little boo-boo there and could not really function on the court. They were playing 4-on-5. They were. Once he got whatever it was he had, it's not him to really tough it out. I know he was on the floor, but it was 4-on-5 offensively the rest of the night. Great game. More of that to come. And yeah, now that the draft is over, for those of you who want some more NBA playoff talk, we'll give you a little bit more. Can't give you a lot more. Can't give you a lot more. Not as much as I'd like to give you. Big time, long time LA Laker fan is one Richard Doc Walker. He is in the house with Rooster. They're up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.